Today's shiur is Masechta Gittin on Daf Zayin. We will begin in the middle of the third line at the top of the Amud with the words Amar Rav Avua. Rav Avua is continuing what we learned on Vav Amud Beis from Rav Chisda, that a person should not bring too much fear, excessive fear, into his home. And there we spoke about his wife and children, and here Rav Avua is going to say it concerning Avadim. Amar Rav Avua, La'olam al yatel adam eimo yaser b'toch beiso. A person should not place excessive fear within his house. He shouldn't instill excessive fear. Shaharei adam gadol, there was once a great man, hitel eimo yaser b'toch beiso. He instilled excessive fear within his house. Everyone was afraid of him. Vehechilu dover gadol. And because of that, they fed him a great iser. As Rashi explains, that the servants once lost a piece of meat, which was a kosher piece of meat, that was shechted properly, and because they had such fear of him to tell him that we lost your meat, they cut off an Avram and a Chai, and they brought it in front of him that he should not understand that they had misplaced the kosher piece of meat. Umani continues the Gemara, who is this great man? Rav Chanina ben Gamliel. Ask the Gemara, Hechilu Salkadatach. Is it possible that in fact they gave him this Dover Gadol, this Isser of Avram and Achai? And by the way, the Marsha speaks out, why is Avram and Achai specifically called a Dover Gadol? And he says, since it's the only Isser Achila that is Oster both to a Jew and to a Goy. That's why it's called a Dover Gadol. But the Gemara questions, is it in fact possible that he was given to eat Avram and Achai? Hashta behemten shel tzadikim ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevit hakol al yadam. We find in the Gemara in Chulin that the Chamor of Rav Pinchas ben Yor would not eat from something that was not Mo'usir, from something that was Tevel. So the Rebbein Shalom does not bring a Michshol even to the animal of tzadikim. Tzadikim atzmo l'kol shchein. Is it not a kavachomer that tzaddikim themselves will not, by accident, be over on an isra achila? And the top toisus divrei maskal hashta speaks out in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that the Gemara only asked this by a mirida achila. Toisus says the gnai hu litzadik sheoichel dvar isra. It is a special embarrassment for a tzaddik that he would eat, that he would take into his body something that is usher. However, by other isurim, for example, in the case of Rabbi Shmuel, who he was over on a isur of Shabbos adjusting the flame on a candle, or Yehuda ben Tabai, he killed an Eid Zomein. So there the Gemara doesn't ask this question. It's only by Midi Dachila that the Rabbi Shlalom will not cause them to digest something that is usher. But how is it possible to say that Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, who was a great tzaddik, would eat, in fact, a dover usher? Ella says the Gemara, Bikshu lahachiloi dover gadol. Ein echanami. The Avadim wanted him to eat something that is prohibited, but in the last moment he discovered it and he did not eat it. But we see what danger there is if someone instills excessive fear, not only concerning his wife and children, but this story brings out that it will even affect his servants. Umayin niyu, and now the Gemara says, what in fact was that Dover Gadol? Avram and Achai, it was the Isra of Avram and Achai, and the Marsha explains that it's Dover Gadol because it affects Goyim as well as Klal Yisrael. Now the Gemara is going to relate to what we learned on Davov Amid Beis, that if a pasuk is written, either three words of a pasuk or four words of a pasuk is written in a letter, that sirtut is required. The letter has to be lined in order that those words of Torah should be put down in an exact fashion, and therefore it has to be lined paper. So we're going to find instances where a pasuk was written in a letter, and in the other Gemara, they did not do sirtut. But here, in fact, in the stories we're going to learn on this Amud, they did sirtut. Shalach le mar ukvil Rab Lazar, b'nei adam o'im demolai, there are people who are standing against me. As we're going to see, there was a person who's mitzar, he caused anguish to Rab Lazar. His name was Geneva. And Rashi says, how did he stand up against Rab Lozer? L'charif ul'gadev, by attacking him through abuse and insult. U'biyodi l'moishrim l'malchus, and I have the ability, I know that they did certain wrongdoings. I could be malshin. I could give them over to the authorities and they would get hurt. Mahu, what is the halacha? Am I allowed to do this or not? In order to remove their constant attacks against me. Sirtate v'kosavlei. Here we see that he is going to answer. Mar Ukva was the one who was being persecuted by Gneva, and he asked the shaila to Rab Lozer, and Rab Lozer responded by a pasuk from Tehillim, and he used sirtut in order to write the pasuk in the letter. Sirtate v'kosavlei. He quoted the pasuk in Tehillim. David HaMelech says, "Amarti, I said, Eshmer darki mechatoy b'lshayni. I made sure that my ways would be that I would not sin with my tongue. I wouldn't speak lashon hara. I wouldn't be malshin someone. Eshmer lepi machsoim. I figuratively put on my mouth a muzzle. Bo'oid rasha lenegdi, even though facing me was a rasha." And he was attacking me, but yet I did not take the opportunity to speak against him. Afal pisha rasha lenegdi, even though the rush is facing me and he's attacking me, eshmer lepi machsoim, I placed on my mouth a muzzle, a figurative muzzle. So we see that he was responding to him that you should not be malshin against them, you should not give them over to the authorities. Shalach lei, so subsequently, Mar Ukva again sent to Rab Lozer, and he said, "Kometzarli tuva, they are increasing their attacks against me. V'loy metzina de'ekimbu, and I'm not able to withstand the onslaught of their abuse and attacks against me." Shalach lei, so Rav Lozer responded to Mar Ukva, another pasuk in Tehillim, "Doim laHashem." The simple pshat is, wait quietly for Hashem. V'ischoyleloi, and hope for him, meaning doim l'Hashem v'hu yapilum lo chalolim chalolim. The simple pshat in the word ischoylel is hope, but he interpreted, Rab Lozer interpreted to mean that if you wait it out, and again, you don't take advantage of being able to give them over to the authorities, Hashem will take up your cause, and he will affect that they will fall corpse upon corpse. Hashkem v'harei v'alein lebeis ha-medrash. What should be your strategy? As Tosis explains, now we're interpreting the word doim. Doim simply means wait and be quiet. But Tosis, in the Divrei HaMaskil, hashkem v'harei v'alein, so he says that the word doim is now coming from meaning like dimdume chama, the first faint glimmer of light in the morning, and likewise as the sun is setting at night, and the message was, Hashkem v'har v'aleim lebeis ha-medrash. Get up early and go to bed late. Early in the morning, late at night, as the sun is setting, you continue your learning at night. V'hein kolu me'aleim. And by themselves, they will become destroyed. Hashem will take care of them. So actually, Tosis points out that there are two ways to learn this Gemara. If we are goyris the word lebeis ha-medrash, or we're not goyris the word lebeis ha-medrash. If we're not goyris the word lebeis ha-medrash, then he was telling him, get up early and late. And I was get up early in the morning and late at night. And what should you do? You should daven to Hashem, and Hashem will take care of them. Even though Tosfos asked the question that we have a Gemara in Bava Kama of Tzadik Gimel, which says, Hamoyser dinoy l'shamayim hu nenesh tchila. That if you have a dispute with someone, you're not supposed to let Hashem pray to Hashem, take over and defeat my enemy. And if in fact you give over your din to heaven, the person who gives over the din is punished first. So how could it be that here the Gemara is saying that you should be mispalled to Hashem and he'll take care of the enemy? Tosfos says that that's only if you have no other recourse. But if you have another recourse, if you have another recourse, then the din is that nenesh tchila. But if you have no other recourse, then you are allowed to have Hashem take over your case. And here, as the Gemara indicated, Mar Ukva was telling Rab Lozer that I have no recourse. There's nothing else that I could do against him. So at that time, Rabbi Elazar responded, "Daven Tashem, and he'll take care of him." If we're goyris the word lebeis medrash, then it's not an Indian of tefillah here, but rather it's an Indian of limud haTorah. You go sit and learn. Ein chanami, don't daven to Hashem. Hashem memela by himself, if he sees that you're getting up early to learn, and you're learning late at night as well, then Hashem, that will be a schus for you, and Hashem will take care of your enemy. Hadover yatsa mipi Rabbi Elazar, when Rabbi Elazar said this thing, that Hashem will take care of your enemy, v'nasnu l'gniva b'kailer, here we discover who the B'nai Adam were, who were attacking Mar Okva, it was Gniva, and they brought, the authorities came, without Mar Okva malshining him, without him speaking against them to the authorities came, and they put him into chains, and Rashi says these chains were put on the feet for people who were signed for the government to be killed. Hamuchtavim lemalchus lariga. Apparently, that Geneva, in fact, was killed because the word had come out from Rabbi Elazar's mouth that Hashem will take care. Chalolim his cholo miloshin corpse. That's what happened to Geneva, and he perished in prison after he was taken by the authorities in chains. And now the Gemara relates another story where Sirtut was used. Sholchu leila Mar Okva. They sent to Mar Okva the following Shaila. Zimra minolon da Osir. How do we know that after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, it is Osir to play music? Rashi says, L'shoyre bebeis hamushtois. How do you know it's Osir to play music, to have song in a place of Mishta, in a pseudo which has wine together with it, that music and wine are also following the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Sirtet v'kosavlu, so he made a lined paper, and he wrote the following pasuk from Isaiah, Al tismach Yisrael el gil bo'amim. The way the Gemara has the gears here, it's bo'amim, but actually in the Ein Yaakov, they bring it accurately ko'amim. But either way, what Hosea is saying is don't, Yisrael, don't rejoice the same way El Gil, Bo'amim amongst the nations, or Ko'amim, the rejoicing of the nations, don't follow in their footsteps to rejoice like them. And rather, after the Churban, we have to refrain from music. V'lishlech lehu mehacha. Why didn't Mar Okva respond from the following pasuk in Yeshaya, Bishir la yishtu yayin, that concerning song, they would not drink together with the song wine. And Tosis points out that, in fact, from this pasuk, you see Rashi is correct that the Shaila of the Gemara here was Beis Mishtois. It was a case where there was wine being drunk, and that wine and music don't mix after the Churban Beis Hamikdash. And that's why the Gemara asks, why bring the pasuk of Altisma Yisrael Gil Ba'amim, bring this pasuk, Bishir Lo Yishtayayin. Yeimar Sheikh al-Shaisav, that the old wine will become bitter to those who drink it. The Gemara answers, Imeahu, if it would be from the pasuk of Bashir, Lo Yishtu Yayin Havam, and I would have thought, Hani Mili Zimra Demana. I would have thought that that pasuk is speaking about when you're playing an instrument. Rashi says, Kinor. Avol de Puma, sure. But if it's only with your mouth, then it would be permitted. Kamash Malon, that's why the other pasuk says, Al Tich Tismach Yisrael, El Gil Ka'amim, that any kind of song, even if it's not with a musical instrument, it is also prohibited. Toisus and Divya Maskel Zimra Minolon Da'asar, he brings down Rashi, that Rashi says it's speaking about a feast, a banquet, where there is wine, and he brings the proof that the pasuk Bishir lo yishtu yayin would indicate that we're speaking about a mixture of wine and music together. But then he brings the Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi says that there's another aspect when singing is usher, And that is when a person is ruggle in it. So then if he's ruggle, Tosfos says, Shemis anig b'yoyser, he pampers himself with music. He listens to music when he gets up in the morning. His alarm clock is not an alarm, but rather it's music waking him up. He goes to sleep, he falls asleep with music. He's involved with music an entire day. That is usher. After the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So it would come out, the way Rashi and Tosfos are learning, that whether it is singing verbally with your mouth, or whether it is with a musical instrument, it is usur. When is it usur? In one of two cases. Either it's at a banquet, or it's a case of ruggle. Those two cases are usur, whether it's bemano with a musical instrument, or whether it is bepeh. However, Rav Moshe, we quoted this in Saita, where we had the same inyan, in the Gemara in Saita Daf Memches, which also Tosfos quotes it as well. Mishabotla Sanhedrin Botel Shir Bebeis HaMishtois Shenemer Beshir Lo Yishtu Yayin. So Tosfos quotes that Gemara. Rav Moshe in Igris Moshe Arachayim Chelik Alf Simen Kuf Samach Vav tells us that although the Rambam in a tshuva paskins that even bepeh it is usur, even bepeh it's usur, and it, if it's not ruggle and it's not at a base mishtois, it's still usur bepeh. But the Ramayisha says all the Rishonim except for that Rambam and the Tshuva, it seems the Rambam and his Tshuva is more machmir than what the Rambam writes in the Yad HaChazaka. The Rambam and the Tshuva goes to the extreme and says that even bepeh, it's usur, even if it's not at a mishta, and even if it's not ruggle, ainoi ruggle, and ainoi mishta, it's still usur, even bepeh. So that Rav Moshe says, we don't paskin like that Rambam. However, Rav Moshe says, vaday me aroi lebal nefesh lahachmer ke Rambam b'tshuvasai. The Rav Moshe says, a bal nefesh, after the Churban should be machmer like the Rambam, but it's me'ikar adin, you're not mechuyev to. However, Rav Moshe says that if it's bimona, if it's a musical instrument, where we really have a machloek between the mechaber and the ramah, the ramah goes like what it seems, the way it seems pashtus from Rashi and Tosfos and our sugya. In other words, our sugya here, Gittin Dav Zayin, is an accompaniment to the sugya we just learned at the end of Saita, Mem Zayin, Mem Ches. It overlaps with that sugya. So Rav Moshe says that the pashtus of Rashi and Tosfos is, as we mentioned before, that bimona or bepeh is usur in two cases, which is rogil or even ainu rogil, but at a mishta. However, the mechaber says that that's only bepeh, but bimona it's usur even if it's not rogil and it's not bemishta. The Rambam in a tshuva goes further and says that even bepeh it's usur ainu rogil and ainu mishta. So Rav Moshe entertains the thought that perhaps Rashi and Tosfos also agree to the Rambam, and therefore Rav Moshe comes out to be machmer. He says, "Yesh lahachmer afshu iser derabbanon." This is not a question of bal nefesh according to the Rav Moshe. Here, bimona musically, it's usher even if it's not at a mishta, and even if it's not ruggil. Not like which would seem bepashtus from our Rashi and Tosfos. The world, it seems, is not noig like this. The world is noig that mona it's usur bemishta, unless it's a sudas mitzvah, which that Tosfos brings down, that v'shir shel mitzvah shari kigoin b'shas chuppah shoysen l'sameach chasna v'kala. And we quoted that, which Rav Moshe is medayik, that it's not only simchas chasna v'kala, because Tosfos says kigoin b'shas chuppah. So you see that Tosfos says any sudas mitzvah, Rav Moshe has a suffix, whether a yeshiva banquet, or an organizational banquet, to raise money, whether that's called a Sudas Mitzvah. And he comes out, possibly it is a Sudas Mitzvah, because you're trying to show chashivas to the people who donated money to the yeshiva, to the institution, and therefore perhaps the Suda itself, which is a way of showing covet to them, is part of the Mitzvah of Tzedakah, and therefore there would be a heter at a banquet of a yeshiva to play music, even with an instrument, because we would have the heter of a shir shel mitzvah. Continues the Gemara, Amale Rav Huna Bar Nasan Rav Ashi, Rav Huna Bar Nasan said to Rav Ashi, my dechsev, this will be a continuation of what we learned before, that a person should not respond to the Rishoim, to those who are antagonizing him. My dechsev, that which we find in the Sefer Yeshua, when it's speaking about 29 cities that the Pasuk mentions there, and the Gemara now is going to single out six of those cities and make a drusha. The reason that it singles out these six is because if you count up the cities that are listed there, there's really 35 cities, yet the Pasuk counts them and says there's 29. So from this, the Taisa Rush says, the Gemara understood that there must be six that are in a different category that we have to darshan. Why specifically are the six that we're going to, why are these six that we're going to speak about chosen out? So the Malbim says, because these six, they're two groups of three, and each of group of three is speaking about the same city. The Malbim proves that all three names that are mentioned are all referring to the same city. So the Gemara understood that these six are in a separate category. One city with three names, the other city with three names, and for what purpose? To darshan. And that's why these six are not included in the number, as the Taisa Rush points out. There's really 35 cities. The Pasuk says there's only 29, because it means 29 plus the six that we're going to darshan. Mai dechsev, kina v'dimona v'adada. What is the meaning of these three cities, which are really one city, as the Malbim explained? Amrlei, Masvasa de Eretz Yisrael Kachashiv. It's listing and say for Yeshua the cities of Eretz Yisrael. Amrlei, Ata no lo yadana de Masvasa de Eretz Yisrael Kachashiv. Don't I know that they are counting over there the cities of Eretz Yisrael? But I want to know what's the drusha, because all three cities are really one city. So why are three names given of the same city? Ela Rav Gevia Margizo, that's from a place called Argiza, Omar Bo Taima. He explained the meaning of these three cities, which are really one city. Kol Sheyesh Lekin Al Chaveri, whoever has a grievance against his friend, Rashi says, Kas. In other words, he has some legitimate gripe against his friend. So that is the first name of the city, Kina. Then Dimona, what does Dimona stand for? The domain, and he's quiet, he doesn't attack his friend. So then comes the last name of the city, which is Vadado Shoichen Adead Oisulaydin. Hashem, who is in remains in his abode for eternity, adayad, that's what the word adoda means, he will do a din. If you're quiet and you don't respond to the one who's attacking you, Hashem will take care of you. That's similar to what we had before, the story of Geneva and Mar Okva. Amalei, so he said back to him, El Miata, if you're darshaning these three names of one city, so what about the three names of the other city? We said there were two cities that had three names. So how do you darshan? Tziglogum admono v'sansono, hochanami darshan that as well. Amalei, I have a Rav Gevia, mi be'argiza hocha. If Rabbi Gevia from Argiza would be here, have a Omer Bataima. Just like he said, pshat, in the first three cities, he would say the pshat in Siglag Madmon of Sansana. But I don't know, but I know that he would tell us the pshat. The Gemara then says that someone else said pshat. Rav Acha mi Beit Chuza, Rav Acha from Beit Chuza, Amar Bo Hachi. He said the following pshat. Kol mi sheyesh le tzakas legima al chaverot. That's the word siglog. Siglog means, your, as Rashi explains, your friend was yoyrid lechayov, lesharim is an isav. You opened a business, and right next door, without any concept of hasagas gvul, another person opened up the same business right next door, and now you're not making a livelihood. So you're screaming out to Hashem for legima, for food. V'doymein, but you're quiet, you don't attack your friend, even though you could be malshin him to the government as we had before. So that's the second word, madmona. So then the final word is sansana, shaychen b'sneh, oisolei din, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who dwells in the sneh, like we had with Moshe Rabbeinu in the sneh, he will take care of that person, your antagonist, as long as you are quiet. This Gemara comes in because we learned before that Zimra by music is Aser after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So now there's another thing that they prohibited because of Simcha Yisera, because it was too much Simcha, and after the Churban they wanted to be Mayat. Just like we have a minig that we put on the forehead of a Chassan, we put ashes. So also they stopped the crown that they used to put on the chosn. So the Reish Glusa said to Rav Huna, Kli la menal and Aser, how do you know that this crown that they used to put on the chosn after the Churban is Aser? Amr lei, mid Rabbanan, ein echlami, it's only a din de Rabbanan. There's no source in Tanakh. The Snan, we learned in Masechta Saita, at the end of the Masechta, Bepulmish Aspasianus in Vespasian's army, in his siege, his campaign against Yerushalayim. Vespasian was the father of Titus. And while he was making a siege against Yerushalayim, the emperor died, and he was elected to be the emperor of Rome. And he told his son Titus to take over the campaign against the Jews, and Titus was the one who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. But already in the original campaign of Vespasian, Gozra Ataris Chasanim, they made Xera against the Ataris Chasanim, the crowns of the Chasanim, and Rashi explains that these crowns had gold and silver, they were colored, they were made from sulfur and salt, rose and myrtle. These were special crowns made for Chasanim. Va'alo iris, they also made Xera no longer to have a tambourine, which had one bell on it, which was a special way of being Mesameh Chas V'Kala. They prohibited the iris as well. So he says it's a din d'rabbanan. Adahachi kam Rafuna lafnuye. Rafuna got up to relieve himself. Amalei Rav Chisda, Rashi speaks out that Rav Chisda was the Talmud of Rav Huna, and he wouldn't say anything while his Rebbe was there. But once the Rebbe excused himself and he left the room, so Rav Chisda told the Reish Galusa, Kroksiv, that really, even though my Rebbe told you it's Midrabbanan, but there is a remez in the Pasuk. Because the Pasuk says in Yecheskel, Koyamar Hashem Lekim, Hoser Amitznefes, take off the turban, Vahare Matara, and remove the, lift up the crown. Zois loy zois, this, will it not be this? And we'll, the Gemara is going to darshan what this means. Hashvola Hagbe, the one low you made high, Vagvoya, the one high you made low. Now we're going to darshan this pasuk, says Reb Chisda, v'chima inya mitznefes eitzel atorah. The mitznefes was worn by the Kohen Gadol. The atorah was worn by the melech. The chayra, if you're lumping them together, they must have a shachas. What's the shachas one with the other? Ella loy melech bizmancha mitznefes barosh Kohen Gadol. If the Kohen Gadol is wearing the turban, the mitznefes, as one of the big day kuna, then atar barosh kolodim. Then any person, meaning a chassan, he can have his crown. Nistalka mitznefes, if the turban was removed, may rosh kohen gadol, nistalka atar, may rosh kolodim. Then we have to remove the atar from everybody's head. The chassan cannot wear it. So here you see from the pasuk that there is a shaykhis between mitznefes and atara. If the kohen gadol is no longer wearing the mitznefes, we don't have the mishk beis hamikdash, we don't have the eight big day kuna, including the mitznefes. So he knows, you know why? Hore Matara, because chaser hametznefes. If the mitznefes is missing, memeo the chasen can't have his ator either. Adahachi, while they were speaking about this, also Rav Huna came back. Ashkechina davayasvi, he found them sitting, and they weren't stum sitting, but they were schmoozing and learning. They were talking about this inyan of removing the ator of the chasanim. So he heard them, Amalei, Oeloi Kim, I swear, I make a shvua by Hashem, Midrabbanan, what I said is correct, it's only Midrabbanan. Even though my Talmud, Rav Chisda, said it's a pasuk, no, as Rashi points out, there's no problem with the pasuk. What was your kasha with the pasuk? What's the shachas of a crown with a turban with the mitznefes? Very pashut. When there will no longer be a kohana, so tzitkiyo hamelech will go into golus. That's what it means. Remove the, lift up the crown because there won't be kohana gedol anymore. That's the shachas. Has nothing to do with that Torah of chasanim. It has to do with that Torah of the hamelech. So midrabbanan. It's all midrabbanan. Ela chizda shimcha. Your name is chizda. Chizda means it's you're charming. You have a chain. Vechazdo en milach. Just like you have charm, your words have charm. In other words, you said a very geshmaka pshat in the pasuk, but really, there's no question. You don't have to darsh the pasuk like that. And what I said before is correct, that it's only midrabbanan, which really has no source in Tanakh. Ravina Ashken Maravashi have a godel Kalila Barate. He found Maravashi was weaving a crown for his daughter. She was a kala for her chasna. The girls used to wear crowns also. Amalei said, Ravina said to Maravashi, like Savala Mar Hasar Mitznefes Var Matara. Here he did use the pasuk, but he said, "Don't you hold of this pasuk, which tells us that there should not be any crowns at the time that there are that the kohen gadol's mitznefes was removed? So how are you making a crown for your daughter? Amalei dumi the kohen gadol. I compared the crown of the crown to the kohen gadol. Just like the kohen gadol is a male, not a female, begavri by a man." But Chosin can't wear a crown. Avo Benashi Loi has nothing to do with a collar. They didn't make an Isser on. The collar is still allowed to wear a crown. My Zois Loi Zois. Now the Gemara wants to explain the rest of the Pasuk. What does it mean? This, is it not this? What exactly is the Navi saying? Dorish or Ravira, Ravira Sepshat, Zimna Normalem Shmeid Ravami. Sometimes he said in the name of Ravami, Vizimna Normalem Shmeid Ravasi. And sometimes he said in the name of Ravasi. Bishosh, Sharmar Kodesh Baruch Yisrael, Hoser Mitznefes, Varma Torah, when Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, remove the turban and take, lift up the crown, Omru Malach Yashar Sven Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Malach Yashar said in front of Hashem, Rabbi Nishalom, Zeis Lohanli Yisrael. This is what is going to happen to Klal Yisrael. Sheikh Dimul Fanecha Besinai Nasa Lanish. They said in front of you at Har Sinai, the Nasa we will do before we even hear. Whatever you tell us to do, we will do. We don't have to understand it first and then do it. As the Marsha explains, that the Klal Yisrael Har Sinai were zoicha to two crowns. Besides the Keser Torah that they were getting through the Torah, they were also getting Keser Kohuna and Keser Malchus. And now are you telling me, Hashem, that they're going to lose Hoser HaMitznefes of the crown of the Kohen Gadol, the Horei Matorah, and lift up the crown of the Melech? They're now going to lose those two crowns. They said Nasav and Nishma at Har Sinai. So the Malachi Asharis was saying to Hashem, Zois? Is this the end? Is this the punishment of Klal Yisrael who said Nasav and Nishma, they're going to lose the Atorah of the Melech and the Atorah of the Kohen Gadol? Amarlan answered Hashem, Loi Zois. Should this not be the punishment? What did Klal Yisrael do? That's the end of the pasuk. They made low the high one, meaning they lowered Hashem and his Torah. Who do they lift up instead? They, as the Rashi brings down, that Menashe brought an avodah zarah into the heichal. So should they not loizois? Should they not receive such a punishment to lose the Keser Kun and Keser Malchus? Now, we learned before Rabbi Avira said something. In the name, one time he said in the name of Ravami, the other time he said in the name of Ravasi. Now we have a similar thing. Dorish Rabbi Avira, Zimnin Amalei Mishmeid Ravami, Zimnin Amalei Mishmeid Ravasi. My Dixiv, that which it says in Nochum. Koyo Ma'ar Hashem, Im Shleim V'chein Rabim. If they are full and if they are many. V'chein Negoizu, they'll be cut off. Va'avar, and it'll pass away. So the pasuk shot in this pasuk is that it refers to the people of Nineveh. And the pasuk means, even if they're shleimim, even if the whole Nineveh comes to attack Klal Yisrael, and v'chein rabim, they are many, it's a big city, Nineveh. You know what's going to happen to them? They'll be cut off. And then the pasuk concludes, as we have on Amud Beis, the pasuk says, "Va'nisicha lo encha oid." I won't persecute you anymore. What is the pasuk shot of the pasuk? I won't persecute you, Nineveh, anymore, says Hashem. Why? Because there'll be nothing left to persecute. You'll be all destroyed. Or it means that Klal Yisrael won't be persecuted by Hashem anymore, because Nineveh will no longer be a threat. Hashem is going to destroy Nineveh. Two pshatim in the Mefarshim. But Rabbi Avira is going to interpret this pasuk in Nachum concerning the mitzvah of tzedakah. And what does the pasuk mean with this drasha? Imroya adam shebezonaisa mitzumtzamim. If a person sees that shleimim, that exactly what I need, I can't put any money away for a savings. I got Hashem's mitzamtzim with me. He gives me exactly what I need. Shole, yasimim tztaka. So, give tztaka. Be nagoizu. Shear it off. Take some of it away and give it to tztaka. The kolshkein kishay merubin. That's the second word in the pasuk. The pasuk says, im shleimim, exactly, v'chein rabim, or if, certainly if you're making more than you need, so you certainly should shear off some and give it to tzedakah. My v'chein agoizim v'avar, what does it mean, a little pass? Tana debay Rabbi Shmuel, kol agoizim v'nechasav, whoever shears off from his property, v'oisim en tzedakah, and gives charity, nitzam edin yishal ganim, he's avar, he passes through the din of ganim. Moshel ishnei rechilos, it's a moshel to two sheep, shayoyris b'mayim, they were passing through the water. Achas gezuzah, one had the wool shorn off. Va'achas ein gezuzah, one did not have the wool shorn off. Which one was able to go through the river? Gezuzah, the one that was not laden down with its wool. Avra was able to get through the water. B'shein gezuzah, the one that had its wool bearing down on it. Loy Avra, she was not able to go through the river. So the same thing, a person who's goizes, who shears off his money, he'll pass through Ganim. The other one who has all his money, he won't be nitzel from Ganim. What does it mean at the end of the pasuk? Vanisicha loy enchoid. So the Gemara explains, Vanisicha, Amar Marzutra, filo oni, hamispranis manat staka, yasat staka. In other words, not only a shalom who has exactly what he needs, not only rabim who has more than he needs, but even anisicha, even an oni, someone who has less than he needs, but he also has a mitzvah of staka. Yasat staka. And what does the pasuk mean at the conclusion? Loy enchoid, Tani Rabbi Yosef, shuv emarim loy simin aniyus. If a person wants to get rid of aniyus, give tztaka, and then you know what the end will be. Loy enchoid, you won't be an ani anymore. Now the Gemara goes back to what we said in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, what's called Eretz Yisrael and what's called Chutz Laretz. So Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Rabbi Yehuda said, "May Rekem leMizrach is Chutz Laretz, and Rekem kimizrach. Rekem has a din like the east, and therefore, if you bring a get from Rekem, you have to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. May Ashkelon leDorim, that's the southern border of Eretz Yisrael. VaAshkelon kedorim. Ashkelon has a din like the south. You're out of Eretz Yisrael, considered out of Eretz Yisrael, gabi gittin, and you have to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. May Akol leTzofen, the Mishnah said, from Akol north, va'Akol leTzofen." And Akko has a din of Tzofen. Rav Meir disagreed on this. Rav Meir said that Akko does not have a din of Tzofen. As a din of Eretz Yisrael, you do not have to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. Ask the Gemara L'meimer. Should we say that Akko l'tzvoyne de Eretz Yisrael kaima, that Akko is all the way on the northeastern parameter of Eretz Yisrael. That's the height of Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi explains that the Gemara at this point thought that Akko is on the western. Excuse me, Akko is on the eastern border of Eretz Yisrael. We know that actually Akko is a port city in the Yamagol in the Mediterranean. But the Gemara here thought that Akko is in the east. So the Gemara says, are you telling me that? How far north does Eretz Yisrael go? Till Akko, which is the northeastern edge of Eretz Yisrael. For a minute, I'll ask you a question. It says, a person was walking north from Akko to Ksiv. We have a diagram over here, but we have, in order to understand the diagram, we have to flip it to make it equal to what we're aware of, that we always have the North Pole is to the north, and we have east is on our right and west. So if you flip it left, this diagram, you will have Akko in the north. Excuse me. Akko in this picture is Akko is in the south. Kiziv is in the north. And there's a passageway. He's going up a road from Akko to Kiziv. So it says, Miminoi on his right, Lemizrach is east, Haderech Tmeah. Miminoi, Lemizrach, Haderech Tmeah. To his right, to the east of the path that he's going, it's Tameh, Mishum Eretz Amim. We know that Chazal prohibited Eretz Amim because there were graves that were not marked, and therefore Kohanim would become Tameh. So they made Exer in Eretz Amim that there's a din of Tumah on Eretz Amim. So on your right, which is east, is Chutz Loretz, that's Tumah. And also Peturim and a Meisr and a Shriyas. There's no din Meisr Shriyas because it's Chutz Loretz. Ad sheyivodaloch shehi chayeves. This is a good rule to know that the road always east of the road, your right hand to the road is always potter. Unless a bookie comes along and tells you that the road here curves to your left. And if it curves to your left, there's a piece of Eretz Yisrael that now is sticking out to your right, because the road made an indentation towards the west, towards Eretz Yisrael. So now somebody says, no, this property, this is, even though it's on your right, right here is not, is Eretz Yisrael. There is no Tumas Akim. There is a Chiv Meister and Shvias. Somebody has to tell you that. Miss Smoyloi, what's the rule of thumb that to your left, when you're walking south to north, from Akko to Kiziv, on your left, Lamarev, to the west, Haderech, Lamarev Haderech, to the west of the way, Tahorah Mishum Eretz Amim, there is no Eretz Amim Tumah, because you're in Eretz Yisrael. V'chayev is Ma'aser Shriyas, but concerning Ma'aser Shriyas, you're Chayev. Ad Sheivodaloch, until Abaki tells you, Shehi Petura, that in this case, the road was indented and stuck out to the east. Then the rule doesn't work, because then it could be that this piece of land, which is to your left, is really part of Eretz Amim. And it is Tameh, and there is no Chiyuv of Meiser. But unless a Bucky points that out, the rule of thumb is, left Ma'ariv is Eretz Yisrael, right Mizrach is Chutz La'aretz. So, Ad Heichon, until how far north does this rule apply, west and east? West is Eretz Yisrael, east is not. Ad Kiziv, up till Kiziv. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, I remember Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel said the name of his father, Rabbi Yossi. Ad Lav Levo, it even goes further to Lav Levo. What's the Gemara's Kasha? The Gemara's Kasha is, how could you say that from Akko to north, and Akko is part of it, it's part of the north, according to Rabbi Yehuda. That's the northern border of Eretz Yisrael. Here we see that the northern border is Kiziv, or Lav Levo, and not Akko. Amr Abaya, says Abaya, Ritsua Nafka. No, that really Akko is the northern parameter of Eretz Yisrael. But that is for the entire top of Eretz Yisrael, except for one strap, one small thin piece of ground that extends further and goes to Kiziv or Lav Levo. And as the Mephorshim speak out, that the Gemara now changes its mind. Akko is not on the eastern border of Eretz Yisrael. Akko is on the Mediterranean. It's a port city of the Mediterranean on your west. So now it works out very well. If you're going from Akko and north to Kiziv, there's a small ritsua, a small string of land that sticks out, juts out from the rest of Eretz Yisrael, that has a din of Eretz Yisrael. So now to your right is east is Chutz La'aretz, Tameh, Nochiv, Meiser, and Shvius. To your left means from the road that you're walking, and to your left, a small sliver of earth next to the Mediterranean, between the road that you're walking up north to Kaziv, and to your left, to Maariv, that is part still of Eretz Yisrael, that little sliver. So the Mishnah is correct, that for all intents and purposes, where is the northern border of Eretz Yisrael? That's Akko, except for that little sliver that goes up to Kaziv. And now, you have to say that the Gemara here changes its mind, that Akko's not on the east, it's on the west. Why? Because if this sliver was going up on the eastern border, then what are you going to be saying? That from Akko to Kaziv, all the way on your left, on the west, is Eretz Yisrael, then it's not a sliver anymore. It only makes sense as a sliver if it's going up the western border, next to the Mediterranean. Then you could say that on your east, all the way over to Jordan from where you are in the Mediterranean, that's all not Eretz Yisrael. That little sliver, that little piece of ground next to the Mediterranean, between the road that you're walking on and the Mediterranean, that little piece of Eretz Yisrael. But if it was on the eastern border, and what's your rule of thumb? Everything to the west is Eretz Yisrael, then it's not a little sliver. Then it means that from the eastern border till the Mediterranean is all Eretz Yisrael, then it's not a little sliver. So Baal Korach, the Gemara now, is changing its mind. And really, we have to say that this Gemara is totally in a Tosfos. We have enough Beis Amud Aleph, Divrei Amaschol Va'ashkelon Kedorim, that Tosfos says in the middle of that long Tosfos, Amr Rabbeinu Tam, the Loi Kashemidi, the Akko Haisa Chetzir Be'aratz, the Chetzir Be'chutzlaratz, Kedemucha Be'Yerushalmi. Tosfos proves from a Yerushalmi that Akko itself, there was like Lahavdil, East Berlin and West Berlin, so you have East Akko and West Akko. East Akko was part of Chutzlaratz, West Akko was part of Eretz Yisrael. So according to one Pshat and Tosfos, when Rabbi Yehuda said that Akko has a din like Chutzlaratz, he was referring about East Akko. So on top of East Akko, there is no sliver of land. There is no Ritzua. That's already part of Chutz Laaretz. Mashenkin, where is the sliver, according to the Sprat and Tosfos? That's on top of West Akko. West Akko is Eretz Yisrael, plus the sliver next to the Mediterranean, between the road that you're walking on to Chaziv and the Mediterranean, that's part of Eretz Yisrael. The other Pshat and Tosfos says no, that Rabbi Yehuda holds Akko as a din of Chutz Laaretz, even though Legabe Meiser and Shvius, the Western Akko is Eretz Yisrael. Legabe Tumas Amim, Western Akko is Eretz Yisrael. But Rabbi Yehuda says that Legabe Gittin, since Akko is far from the regular Yishuv of the rest of Eretz Yisrael, Tosfos says that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that even Western Akko has a din, Legabe Gittin at least, not Legabi other din, but Legabi Gittin as a din of Chutz Laaretz, and therefore the Shliach who comes even from Western Akko will have to say Bifani Nechtav, Bifani Nechtav. So it's totally in the two Pshatim and Tosfos whether we're referring Akko here and the sliver, Negei Chutz Laaretz Eretz Yisrael, we're talking about East Akko, or we could even be speaking about Western Akko, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it has a din of Chutz Laaretz, even though that same din does not apply to Meiser and to Tumah. Frag the Gemara, V'yoev Tana, Simona Hachi. According to your Pshat of Ritzua, does the Tana give a simon like this? Learns Rashi, Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos here. Rashi learns, is the Tana concerned about a little sliver of land to give a whole simon right, left, east, west? We're just talking about a little sliver. Tosfos says, I don't understand. Of course you have to give a simon, even for a little sliver. You want to know, is this little sliver chayv in Meiser and chayv in Shvius? Is there a din of Tumas Akum on the land, or is not a din of Tumas Eretz Amim or not? What's, according to Rashi, what's Gemara's Kasha? Tosfos learns, and the Ritva and others learn, that Rabbi Shmuel, Tosfos quotes, learns, is this the derech that the Tana will use a road as a simon? That's the Gemara's problem. But why? Because a road, number one, it doesn't go straight. Usually you want to give a boundary that goes straight. A road is zigzag. Would you use a road as a simon? And secondly, a road very often changes from its original. It used to be a path. Then they changed it, and they may move it over a little. If you're going to give a road, it would seem to be not an accurate geographic demarcation. That's the Gemara's kasha. Answers the Gemara in, yes, it's not only a Tana. We find that the Pasuk itself uses a road. We're learning now with Tosfos Pshat. It uses a road as a siman. According to Rashi, the Pshat will be, just like we find a road in the next Pasuk is used as a siman, even though it's a very small piece of ground, a road, so too we do give simanim concerning geographical areas that are Ritzua, that are very small. Let's go, though, use Tosfos as the Pshat. In Kronami Yav Simna, Dichsiv, we find in Shaiftim, Vayoimru, they said, Hine Chag Hashem B'Shilo, Miyamim Yamima, there's an annual feast to Hashem in Shiloh. And where is Shiloh? So now the Navi gives geographic landmarks. Asher Mitzvayna LeBeisel. On the one hand, it's north of Beisel. Mizrocha Shemesh, it is east, Lemesila to the road, Ho'oilem Ibeisel Shichma, from Beisel to Shechem. East of that is Shiloh. Umi Negev, Levoina, and it is south of Levoina, which means that Levoina is the north, then comes Shiloh, and then comes Shechem. Then comes Beisel. Beisel is all the way to south, so Shiloh is north of Beisel. Shiloh is south of Levoina. Va'amara Papa, don't get confused with the wording of the Pasuk. The Lemizracha Shamasila. What are we talking about? East? We're talking east, not concerning Levona or Beisel, but rather we're talking about that Shiloh is to the east of the road. So according to Tosfos, we see that a road is used as a landmark. So too, we used on the western border of Eretz Yisrael, next to the Mediterranean, we used the road, and we said anything to the west of the road till the Mediterranean is Eretz Yisrael. Anything to the east is not Eretz Yisrael. Tani Chada, we learned in one brisa. Hamevi get besvina, kemevi be'Eretz Yisrael. If, as Rashi explains, if a sofer wrote a get on a boat, the boat, as the Gemara understands it now, on Chesem and Alf, the Gemara will give a different shot. But right now we're going that the boat is in a river, and that river is in Eretz Yisrael, and a get was written on the boat, and the shliach takes the get from the boat and brings it to a woman in Eretz Yisrael. If somebody brings a get from the boat, Kamevi Be'Eretz Yisrael, it's like bringing it in Eretz Yisrael. If the river's in Eretz Yisrael, so the boat likewise is considered in Eretz Yisrael. V'tanya, if we learned in another brisa, Kamevi Be'Chutzlar, it's like bringing it in Chutzlaritz. So, which means, if you're bringing it from the boat, you would have to say, Befani Nechtam, if the boat has a din of Chutzlaritz. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, how do we reconcile this theory? Like Hashem, Har Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbanan? One Bryce is going contra Yehuda, and one Bryce is going contra Rabbanan. This is not, we learned in a Mishnah, offer Chutzlarts. If you had earth of Chutzlarts, Habor Bisvina, Le'aretz, it came in a boat, Teretz Yisrael, Chayiv B'Maiser B'Shviyiz, it has anything that's grown in that ground of Chutzlarts, but it's on a boat that is in a river in Eretz Yisrael, it's chayiv in Maisru Shviyas, because the Rabbanan say that the water is not considered a hefsek between the boat and the ground. And what ground are you on? You're on the ground of Eretz Yisrael. So Mimela, the what's growing, even though the earth is earth of Chutzlaritz, but it's considered that you have Yanika from the ground of Eretz Yisrael into the boat. Now, we're speaking about over here, Rashi says, we're speaking about a boat that's a klicheris, that's made out of earthenware. Earthenware is porous. Of course, it doesn't have a hole in it. We're soon going to get into the union of otzitznakov. You have a pot that has a hole, and if it doesn't have a hole, then the plant is getting its nurturing from the ground that's in the pot. But if it has a hole, then it's considered that it's getting its nurturing from the ground underneath the pot. So to over here, according to Rashi Shita, other Rishonim disagree. Well, we'll go with Rashi Shita, that a otzitz, a pot, is a wooden pot then it has to have a hole to be considered attached to the ground. However, Kli Cheres, if this boat is made out of earthenware, since earthenware is porous, therefore, even though there's not a hole on the boat, or else the boat would sink, but the mere fact that it's made out of Kli Cheres, it's porous, and it's considered, according to the Chachamim, that it is connected to the ground of the riverbed, which is in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, it's Chayev in Meister and Shvius. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, I disagree. Amesai, when would I agree with you? Bisman shesvin agoshashes, from the word gush. If the boat is in very shallow water and the boat is touching the earth, then I could say there is no hefsik of the water. Then I could say the boat is getting nurturing, is getting unique from the ground of Yisrael. Then it would be chayv in meiser and shvius. Avalein esvin agoshashes. But if the svina, the boat, is in higher water. There's water that's mafsik between the bottom of the boat and the river bed. Then the Dinis Potter, that water is considered a hefsik. Therefore, the boat is not getting yinika from the soil of Eretz Yisrael. Then it's not chayiv in Trumas and Meiser. It's not chayiv in Meiser or in Shvius. So Memela now, what is the Gemara doing? It's taking this machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan concerning Meiser and Shvius, and it's applying it to a get. If Rabbi Yehuda holds that if it's not goysheshes, if it's not in shallow water where it's touching the river bed, the water is considered a hefsik. There's no din meiser. So hua din, the boat is considered a hefsik from the earth. It's not earth of Eretz Yisrael. It's earth of Chutz Lartz. And Taisa speaks out that although the reasons of Lishma and Ein Eidim Mitzrim L'Kaima wouldn't apply, because after all, you're in a river in Eretz Yisrael, so they know to do it Lishma. There are Eidim Mitzrim L'Kaima, but this is like we had earlier in the Gemara. This is an Inyan of Loy Plug. Once you say that something has a din of Chutz Lartz and it doesn't have a din of Eretz Yisrael, even though the reasons of Lishma don't apply and Eidim Mitzrim L'Kaima don't apply, but it has a din of Chutz Lartz, Loy Plug, whatever is considered Chutz Lartz, you have to say according to Reb Yehuda, b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. Taisus in Divrei HaMaskil, Hor Reb Yehuda Rabban asks a tremendous kasha. What's the svar of applying Meiser to get? Imagine, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're in a two-story building. The building is in Eretz Yisrael. The second floor has earth from Chutz Lartz, and you would plant something in that earth. So, legabe hilchis Meiser, it would not be chayiv in Meiser, because it's earth from Chutz Lartz. But would someone, would it be oil al das, would someone think to say that a get that was brought from the second floor of that building, that it would have a din of Chutz Lartz, and you'd have to say, b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam? So ask Tosfos, why, according to Yehuda, is a boat on a riverbed in Eretz Yisrael different? It has a hefsek of water. True, it has a hefsek of water. But after all, it's a river in Eretz Yisrael. Why would, just like the Aliyah, I wouldn't say b'fanei nechtam, I wouldn't be mechuyev to say b'fanei nechtam. Why should I have to say it, according to Yehuda, from a boat? Tosfos gives an answer, there's a chalik, because by the building itself is on ground of Eretz Yisrael, and technically if someone would plant on that ground on which the bottom floor of the building is resting, that's the ground of Eretz Yisrael, there'd be chayv in Meiser. It's just the earth on the second floor that you have a plant in that makes it putter. But the ground of the first floor would be chayiv. So there is a svara to say that since after all the building is resting on ground which has a chayiv of meiser, so that is considered Eretz Yisrael and the get would not be mechuyev in b'fanei nechtam. However, by the riverbed example, both the earth that the plant is in inside the boat is from Chutz Lartz, plus there's no way to plant anything on the riverbed. You don't plant things in the riverbed. So both from the boat inside the boat and from the ground that it's trying to get nurture from both sides, there is no chiv in Meiser. Memela there, I will say that get would have the same halacha, that it's totally considered chutzlarts, and according to Reb Yehuda, there would be a chiv of b'fanei nechtav to say, the shlich would have to say b'fanei nechtav. Abai wants to answer this stira between the two brises in a different way. He doesn't want to make it a machlokes Reb Yehuda in the Rabbanan. Havar Reb Yehuda, it's both going according to Reb Yehuda. Havar Reb Yehuda Hiva, like Kasha, Kam Bizman Sheinah Svina Gosheshes, Kam Bizman Sheinah Svina Gosheshes. Reb Yehuda made a chilek between whether the boat is resting on the riverbed or not. If it's resting on the riverbed, it does have a unique Legabi Meister from the riverbed, and therefore it hasn't been a Eretz Yisrael. If there's a hefsek of water, it's not resting on the riverbed, it does not have a din of Eretz Yisrael. So that is the same din, legabe get. If the boat is on the riverbed without any water, it's goysheshes, that has a din of Eretz Yisrael. A get from such a boat is, you don't have to say lefani nechtam. However, if there's a hefsek of water, that's where a Yehuda holds, it's considered legabe meiser, not connected to the ground of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore legabe get, the din would be, you would have to say befani nechtam. So instead of making a machlokes Reb Yehuda and Rabbanan, I could say they're both going contra Reb Yehuda, and the chilek is it goysheshes or not goysheshes? Amar Rab Zeira. Otzitz nakiv. Now we get into Rashi says this is a wooden otzitz, because if it would be cheres, Rashi shita is that you wouldn't need a hole, it's porous. But an otzitz is a wooden pot, nakiv, it has a hole, but it's not relying on the ground itself, but rather hamunach al gabi yisaydos, it is resting on pegs. So we now, here's the analogy, we want to say maybe it's totally the machlokes Reb Yehuda and the Rabbanan. Because just like Reb Yehuda and the Rabbanan had a hefsek of water, and when there's a hefsek of water, the Rabbanan says doesn't matter, it's still considered being nurtured from the ground of Eretz Yisrael, chayiv and meiser. According to Reb Yehuda, it's a hefsek, it's not considered nurtured, since the ground in the boat is from chutzlaretz, it's not nurtured from Eretz Yisrael. And there is no chiv meiser. So, and the same thing legabe get. And who would in here? The Gemara wants to say that this case where I have a pot that has a hole in it, but it's not resting on the ground. It's resting on pegs, which means there's a separation of air in between the otzitz and the ground. Bonu l'machlaikas, Reb Yehuda v'Rabbanan. So the Gemara thought at first that this is mamish to machlaikas, Reb Yehuda v'Rabbanan. If I say water is mafsik, who then air is mafsik according to Reb Yehuda. It's not considered earth of Eretz Yisrael, no chiv in Meiser. However, if I say like the Rabbanan, the water is not a hefsek, then the air is not a hefsek. It's lying on the ground of Eretz Yisrael. It is chayv in Meiser. Amar Rava, so Rava said, no. Dil malayi, maybe not. So, ad kan lekam Reb Yehuda hasam, ela besvina. As we go to the Daf Chesam and Aleph, hasuya levroyach. When did Reb Yehuda say his din, that the water is considered a hefsek? That's only by a boat, where the boat is always in motion. So therefore, I have a hefsek of the water, plus the boat is not stationary. The derech of a boat is to go back and forth. It's always in motion. That's where Reb Yehuda said the water is a hefsek, and it's not on ground of Eretz Yisrael, and it's not chayv and meiser. Avul otze she'ena asui levroyach, but a pot which stays in one place, even though there's a hefsek of the air, that's not considered a hefsek. Loi, I would think that maybe Reb Yehuda says that that is considered on the ground of Eretz Yisrael, and it would be chayv and meiser. Inami, or I'll say the flip way. Atkan lekam rabbanan hasam ela besvina. When did the rabbanan say that it is chayv meiser? That's only by a boat. What's being mafsik between the ground, the riverbed, and the boat? The loy mafsik avira. There's no air. The loy mafsik avira de maya. The loy mafsik avira de maya ki aris michta damya. Water is considered like thick earth. In other words, I have earth, the riverbed, I have water on top, and the earth is considered to be a thick earth that's going right up to the bottom of the boat. That's where the Rabbanan say the water is not a hefsek. The boat's on the land of Eretz Yisrael, it is chayv and meiser. Aval otzitz, but by an otzitz, Demafsik avira, that the air is a hefsik. There's no swara to say the earth is a thick earth, like you would in the case of water. So perhaps light. Perhaps there the Rabbanu would be moida, that it is considered a hefsik. And if it's a hefsik, it's not the ground of Eretz Yisrael, and it would not be chayv meiser. So Mela, all Rav is pointing out is that there are swaras to say that Rabbi Yehuda in this case would be moida to the sheet of the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan would be moida to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. You cannot bring an analogy exactly from the case of Avir to the case of Mayim. There are svaras to be Mechalek.